Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen. Coming up on Friday, September 28th, is the Business and Technology Energy Conference. It's going to be held at the Finnish American Heritage Center. And here to tell us why you should be considering attending that, from New Power Tour, Melissa Davis. Melissa, thank you so much.
Good morning, Rick.
Good morning. Now, so this is, you know, it's an energy conference, but with a twist because it's got some very special guests. So why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about it?
Well, our guests are flying all the way over from Finland on Wednesday evening, and they are here because we got a grant from the Finlandia Foundation to pay for their travel expenses. So thank you, Finlandia Foundation. And the first guest is Jarno Happakoski, and he is from Oulu, Finland, but he most recently has moved to Canada to expand his operations, and he is the CEO of a company that manufactures small-scale combined heat and power generators at the 40-kilowatt level. So these units, which, by the way, look really sleek, they burn woody biomass chips. They burn wood chips to generate electricity and heat. And he's the CEO of that company. And a little bit of backstory on that. The person that designed this generator is the Prime Minister of Finland, Juha Sipilä. And so he worked with Jarno to build a small community called Kampale outside of Oulu. And it's a standalone community that actually is off-grid and has solar and batteries and woody biomass. And it's so we're super excited to have him come to the area. And I got to visit Oulu, and I got to visit Jarno in 2013.
Wow.
I went to Finland for a week and learned all about how they have implemented this resource to really bolster all of their small rural economies. It's super impressive.
Okay. So he's one of the guests that are coming. You have two main guests from Finland, correct?
Right, right. And then the other one is Markku Pannanen and Markku.
Well, I'm glad you're pronouncing
it. Roll that R. Yeah, he's coming. He's actually he's more on the bioeconomy design side. And I want to use their term. So from now on, bioeconomy is what they're calling woody biomass based economies in Finland. So we'll just go ahead and keep up with them. And Markku is he's more on the academic side, and he can talk a lot about forest landowner cooperatives and how the average people since the 1970s have moved and grown towards this economy in Finland. And so I look forward to that because he's more like the people person and Jarno is more of the technical business guy.
So this business energy meetup, who would be attending this? Who would it be of interest to?
Well, so in my opinion, I want it to be of interest to everybody because I would like everybody to start to think about these technologies and to start to become informed about them. And that's fulfilling our mission to improve the energy literacy of the people that live here, because the idea is the more that people know, the more smarter we're going to be about making decisions that benefit us the most. So, but there are certain sizes of businesses that actually could plug this technology in if they were interested. So depending on the size of your utility bill, how much heat you use in your business, it could be there are lots of places it could be a fit. I think potentially for the resort economy, we're going to be taking them around to a couple of businesses in the area on Thursday to go sniff out opportunities.
So this could be implemented in a smaller scale, I'm just going to pluck one out of the air, like the Keweenaw Mountain Lodge, a resort like that, where they're self-sustaining and producing their own energy?
They could potentially. They could.
Okay.
Yeah.
In some of our smaller municipalities?
Well, I think then you're sort of like, then you're talking about honestly, getting into the municipal utility realm. And honestly, I think that there are other ways to harness this technology to bring profits to the area without actually changing anybody else's business models.
Okay. The reason why I ask is that over the years, I've had numerous guests that have talked about biomass energy production. And when I talk to them, they have a, you know, it seems to have some pretty good plan laid out, and they're just looking for people to jump on board and to implement it. And it would seem that this area would be, you know, ripe for something like, you know, like that. I mean, with all of our current energy concerns that we have and the availability of woody biomass, but yet it hasn't gained a lot of traction.
Right. And it seems to me that's largely due to people just don't understand and they don't know. Like when I went to Finland and I got to see how little woody biomass, how small of a quantity of wood chips it takes to generate electricity and so much heat, I was just floored. It's not like, well, what I want to back up and say is if you do it wisely, it could make the forests that we have with forest management be stronger, taller, better, make the best trees grow bigger. And I want you to like think about that. It's not the sort of situation where you have to hoover things out and then start growing plantations at all. You know, in the Great Lakes Basin, what we could be doing is could be of benefit in so many directions. And I'm sort of curious about who's come through and talked to you about it, because the thing is, getting people to wrap their heads around it it's a first step. And that's why I'm taking the slow walk. You know, I've been doing this for more than several years.
Well, when we get done here, I'll look up some of the past interviews, and you can see if any of those people are still in the woody biomass promoting industry. Mm-hmm. But as far as promoting it over in Finland, how widespread is this being used, this kind of technology?
Back to the municipalities, every municipality in Finland has adopted it now.
Everyone.
Through at least for sure for heating, for district heating. Every single one. In fact, our guy the one that I visited, his name's Asko Ojaniemi. He was telling me, he showed me a map and every community, because it's just stabilized them and helped them so much. And those guys are on the cutting edge of that. They're the experts now. They're exporting this technology and this expertise all over the world. Asko is in Vietnam now, building 2 combined heat and power plants.
Have they got a foothold in America anywhere that you know of?
I think there are things happening on the East Coast. As far as the Finns go, they have a console that I think it's called FinPro, that is all about developing business opportunities in our country. But I think that there have been some obstacles in their way that have been hard for them to navigate and still are.
And I know I'm putting you on the spot with some of these questions, and maybe the better people to answer them are the guests when they come out to this energy meetup, which is why we want people to come to this program.
Exactly.
And ask those questions.
Exactly.
Of the experts. And so we'll definitely come back to this before the end of the interview, but how do people get involved to attend this?
Well, the best way is to email me or call me. And my email is melissa@newpowertour.com. My phone number is 281-5986, and I will happily send you a link that registers you. And also, I just want to say it's a great deal for $25.
So $25 registration.
$25 gets you in, and part of that is part of the reason we can offer it at that rate is because we also got a grant from the Mott Foundation, and it came through the Keweenaw Community Foundation. They gave us the seed money to make this go. So we also have a couple of great sponsors, Keweenaw Chamber of Commerce, Thermo Analytics. Gosh, don't let me leave anybody out. I should be looking at the poster. Finnish American Chamber of Commerce. I think that covers it.
All right. If you do think of somebody, we can definitely come back to it.
They call you up.
Yeah, they'll let you know.
But, you know, Rick, there's also another component to it. So, I just want to make people aware of it. And that is, we're having this business and technology conference that's kind of going to go in depth from 10:30 to 4:30 at the Finnish American Heritage Center with lunch catered by Fitzgerald. But we wanted to make something accessible to and free to the public. So in the evening from 6:30 to 8:30, we're going to be having an energy show exhibit with exhibitors that do spray foam installation and do solar installation. And then also I'm working on the guy from Michigan Saves that is does super low low interest financing for people that want to do improvements on their houses or their businesses. So there's, just so you know, there's this vehicle in place that makes, that sort of makes us, you know, gets you on the freeway really fast if you're interested in doing it, but you don't have the upfront capital. And that was the idea, that Michigan Saves would focus on renewable and energy efficient technologies for homeowners and businesses for people that don't have the opportunity to do it right away, because from, because their pockets aren't deep enough right now. And because the thing is, all of these technologies, well, the energy efficient ones really save you that money, you know, that's. So, and also our Finnish guests will be speaking that night too. I've gotten commitments out of both of them to do double duty while they're here. And they'll, so they'll each talk for about 20 minutes.
All right. Well, definitely sounds great. Friday, September 28th, this is starting at the Finnish American Heritage Center at 10:30. And you have Scott Dianda.
Scott Dianda is going to open things up and tell, he's going to like decode what the heck is happening in Lansing with all of this.
Yeah, we can see if there's been any kind of movement or where the state's headed as far as, you know, backing some of this technology.
He's pretty excited about the Energy Freedom Package that he's been promoting. And I think that he's got like, I think he's maybe been making some headway on it. So he can explain all that to us. We also have one more guest. I want to talk about her a little bit, sure. If that's okay. I've been trying to get her up here for 8 years. And her name is Angela Barbash. And she is a founding principal of a group called Revalue Reconsider. And what she does is educates people about crowd equity financing for local investing. So, you know, their thing is Main Street, not Wall Street. Because the legislation got passed in 2013 that makes it legal for us to invest in small businesses, pretty much like the stockholder model. So in this state, we can invest between $50,000 and $10,000 into a business, and we can invest up to $1 million if it's unaudited and $2 million if it's audited. And there's this like things that have been emerging. It's not crowdsourcing. It's similar to crowdsourcing, but you own a piece of it. It's equity. So there's this like scenarios that have been emerging where businesses have been started because they reached out to people that were interested in investing in local things that maybe we're going to return on their investment in a longer period, but we're going to bring such great benefit to the community. Does that make sense?
Explain a little bit. So how what people that are there, they're going to hear this message, how will it benefit them? What can they do with it?
Well, for several, there's several ways to go with it, and she's going to be really way better at the lingo. That's another thing where, this is why I'm bringing the experts here, because they can talk the talk. But basically, if you're a small business and you want to expand, you can crowd equity finance it by doing what's called a raise. And you can only, the people that invest in your business have to be from Michigan. They don't have to be from your town. They can be from anywhere in the state. And so you can do a raise on some aspect of your business that you want to beef up, or if you want to start a business. Or in our case, we're sort of bringing all of these pieces together to think about clean energy. A clean energy crowdsourced, crowd equity financed project. So I've been wanting her to come up for a long time, because I try to explain it to people, and it's sort of like, yeah, that's great. That's really, we've never done that before. That's, yep, you know, but she's going to be like, and I'll be like, yes. And I've been trying to get her up, and I was like, who would be the cherry to top off this cake for this event? Angela. So I called her up and I was like, or I emailed her. I was like, hey, can you come up for this event? And how much would it cost? And she comes back with $1,200. And I was like, how about $500? Not that we have that kind of money. It was going to be like just really squeaking it out. There was no answer. So I was like, oh yeah, okay, I've made her mad. And then she comes back and said that the MEDC was going to supplement the rest of it. Okay. So that's super. So just so you know, we're getting big time support coming through the door. So come button all these people and peg them down and ask them questions.
Yeah, it's a rare opportunity to talk to some of these experts who have done this on such a large scale. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about, you know, someone, one of the leading energy energy mines of Finland coming here. And it's kind of nice too that we've seen attempts at this local area trying to partner up with other businesses from Finland and getting the best of both worlds, you know, the market we have here in America and the expertise that they have over in Finland, and utilizing that and bringing some of those innovations here to the copper country.
You know, if we could capitalize on their last 50 years of R&D, and we could ask them, okay, given all that you know, how would you approach what we would like to see happen here? Which is it's a group thing. It's not like what one person would like to see happen here, but what people would like to see happen here. That's what I'm really working towards. But yeah, accessing that expertise, save us lots of mistakes.
Right. And it's not that alternative energy research and development here in this country is lagging, but you know, it's taken some hits certainly over the last decade or so. There hasn't been the breakthroughs that we've been hoping. Well, let's look at some models that are working. You know, it's been bad investments, I think, made by both companies and by our government in alternative energy projects that have not been worked. Some of them have just been flat-out scams, but haven't developed the results that they promised.
They're just tanked, but that's with our money.
Yeah, and well, so here is a situation where in Finland they're using this and using it effectively. And so rather than trying to reinvent the wheel, it's like, well, okay, well, what can you bring here? And if you get enough of these people into the same room, and then you have movers and shakers that are hearing this and who have, you know, maybe some capital, you know, backing themselves, or can use ideas that the third speaker will have on, you know, ways to raise money, well, then, you know, that pipe dream that others have come in here and talked to me about we should have a biomass generator here locally and how it will solve all of our energy problems, and nothing comes of it. This could be something that starts that and revolutionizes, you know, the energy availability of the Keweenaw.
Especially if we build that network so that people are commenting and thinking about it and working together and applying their smarts in the areas that they're smartest in. You know, I would really like to see some sort of ease of dialogue to happen, and I'm kind of working on that too. Like, got to talk to people with web skills, but that would be ideal. And you know, when you say that, it's like you're absolutely, just to backtrack a little bit, when you talk about what the good things that these other people have said, the benefits that could be had from that, there are a lot of them, but one of the best ones is the self-reliance. It's like, okay, something happens between the pipeline between here and Canada, we're okay. We can keep, you know, in worst case scenario, we have some generation. So it's sort of prepper of me to think like that, but
well, no, it makes sense. You know, they're building those huge generating facilities, and it's like, well, okay, great, we're going to have two new power plant facilities in the Upper Peninsula. And then they say, oh, well, yeah, it's great, but it's not going to lower your bills at all. In fact, it might go up because somebody's got to pay for these hundreds of millions of dollars invested into these things. And so, you know, we're like, oh, it's like building when they build a new ballpark and the ticket prices go up. And it's like, oh, okay, that's great.
We see the logic. Yeah. And if those generators had been woody biomass based, it could have been happening without really, really horribly impacting the forest resources at all, even though those are big scale. But do you think about that money staying in our economy? That money that we're pipelining out could have been like helping stabilize the UP. So I've always been a little critical of that. And in fact, last night I got approached by the state, the Michigan Agency of Energy Agency came to visit me last night, and they said that they want to help us put on another energy show in the spring.
Oh, good.
Okay. I know. I was like, what?
Good. You're becoming quite popular.
Thank you, people, for driving here and visiting me.
All right. Well, so $25 gets you into the Business and Technology Energy Conference. They're calling it the Energy Meetup. It's at the Finnish American Heritage Center on Friday, September 28th from 10:30 to 4:30, you said?
Correct.
Okay. And We'll give you that contact information again in the moment so that you can register. Also, if you just want to be able to grab the information online, if you go to KeweenAwReport.com and do a search for Energy Meetup, it will pop up, and we've got everything listed there.
Good. So good.
That will help people. But while we have a couple of minutes, you know, we always get an opportunity to talk about things that people can be doing. So, you know, hey, maybe they're not going to be opening up a biomass generating plant, but they have other ways that they can save on their energy costs. And with winter coming up, it should be in front of people's mind. I am in the process of actually buying a house right now. So now I have an expert here. I can talk about some of those things. You know, I had the inspection done, and the house has a water heater that's 26 years old, a natural gas water heater that's still functioning. And it was inspected. Well, it works. The inspector said, well, you can replace it or run it till it breaks, but it's probably not very efficient. And you know, given the cost of probably a new water heater, somewhere $800 to $1,000 installed, I don't know what I would save. I have to wait to see the bills. My gas bills are huge, then I'll know that I need to do something right away. So that's one thing.
That's a place you might be able to chisel and just be really grateful that you don't have an electric water heater.
Yeah, definitely. We have an electric stove, and I'm not happy about that. Wish it was a gas stove. That's what we have in our current place, but the new one will be electric. Is there, for replacing appliances, are there ways that people may, you know, who can't shoulder the out-of-pocket cost of spending $1,000 on a new appliance, that they can get help?
There are several things, rather two things. there are rebates available. So if you go to a website called Efficiency United, which I bet a lot of people have heard about by now, there's a drop-down menu, and you can drop down, and you should click on SEMCO, and then that will show you what sort of rebates you could get if you were going to move towards installing an on-demand water heater or something, you know, like that, which is more expensive. So there's money out there that will help you offset that cost. On the same thing, if you go to the same website, like once again, efficiencyunited.com, and the same thing, drop-down menu, this time click UPCO, they also have rebates for homeowners, so it's called home performance. So if you just sort of keep an eye on that, at the beginning of every year, they're going to have different rebates for different installs, different measures.
All right. Definitely looking for ways to save money, because I know that replacement's coming up. The other thing I noticed about the house, and I get to talk about my house since it's a good example of one, it has radiator heating.
Really? Oh, I love radiator heating.
So is that good? Because the house I'm currently in that I'm moving out of has forced air heating. The new house has radiator heating. Of course, when we tested it, it came on and started to heat up right away. But I was just a little, you know, wasn't sure if that was more or less efficient. And also that the radiator gets hot, you know, concerned. But, I mean, it's been there for 100 years. And I don't know of anybody that's been burned alive by leaning up against a radiator. But it does get hot.
I think there's a difference between if it's steam and hot water. I imagine yours is hot water, because steam is kind of going the way of the dinosaur and is really like an arcane science.
Yeah,
now.
It's hot water.
So they have it's called an ECM boiler pump, electronically commutated boiler pump. And what it does is once the temperature in the radiator system comes up to temp, typically the pump is just going to keep going, but this ECM commutator thing, once it comes up to temp, it stops it. The pump stops, so it doesn't keep circulating it. So that's a measure. It's an electric measure, so it's an UPCO measure, even though you're using gas to heat your water, probably. Yeah, you are.
Yep.
So because it saves you electricity from that pump going all the time, and you should be plenty comfortable. And so that's one thing that you could install that I think they have a rebate for.
Okay. We do have a programmable thermostat, so I'm happy about that. So we do have one in the current house, too. I was kind of hoping we would maintain that. So then, you know, another question is, you're looking around on winterization opportunities and difference between this house and the house we're currently in. The house we're currently in, the roof is insulated in the top of the attic so that you can use the attic as a basically like a playroom or something like that. This current house, the floor on the attic is insulated rather than the roof. And I said, well, maybe we should add insulation to the roof. So don't do that. That it would actually be more harmful than good. So even though that the attic won't be usable in the winter as space, don't double insulate.
Yeah, you want that cold air differential over the insulation. So there's something about the way that works that the cold air over the insulation and then the heat underneath the insulation. So depending on, I see a lot of attics insulation in the floor. And that's what it's like a really good place to put it. Really is. Yeah.
I was wondering if it would be more efficient for the rest of the house because you don't have as much heat that you're losing in the attic like in your current house.
Mm-hmm. It's more efficient, And then you have to have those eave vents to keep that air traveling through too so you don't get condensation trapped up there and stuff too.
Well, I could pick your brain for a lot of free advice here, but I can do that also after we're done with the interview. But for the Business and Technology Energy Conference, again, coming up on Friday, September 28th, so you want to reserve your spot now because it's coming up in a few days. It's at the Finnish American Heritage Center. Two great experts, energy experts coming from Finland that you don't want to miss. How can people get registered to go?
Please email me, melissa@newpowertour.com. And it's tour, not tool. T-O-U-R. And then my phone number, hopefully, in all this time, if you're interested in coming, you have grabbed a pen or a pencil and paper. My phone number is 281-5986. And then if you want to be sort of like, if you don't want to spend the money, come in the evening. Oh, and bring, if you have kids, bring them, because we're going to have childcare, although the childcare will cost $5 per child. Mike Lottie has opened up the basement of the DNN tower, so the bank over there, so even though it's not that anymore. And we're going to have some people taking care of the kids so that if you want to just think about things, you can do that and know that your kids are over there having a good time playing foosball.
All right, great. Thanks, Melissa.
All right.
Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.